We've dealt with pornography, infidelity in our marriage. Right now he's battling a dementia and is in a nursing home for long term. And it's just being there for him. And regardless of your situation, he's got your back. He won't leave you nor forsake you.
Talking marriage today, continuing from yesterday. We had so many wonderful calls and comments about one thing for marriage. We thought we'd continue on with that today. Dr. Randy, here along with Gino on Facebook. Welcome to our Facebook Friends Live today. Our senior producer, Stephen, is here. Stephen Davis, and Jennifer is running our controls, hopefully making everything level as we fly through this half hour. And I'm here in our Intentional Living soundproof studio, surrounded by all of this. You know, I don't know, in most houses you get echo. You know, I live in this room with soundproof everywhere. Ceiling, floor, just the window to get the chance to see Jennifer. And even that's like three layers thick. So if you ever want to come someplace and just scream, you come in here, close the doors and scream, and nobody will hear you. Unless the mic is on. All right, talking marriage today as we continue on this this course of, listen, here's the deal. Here's what we believe. Here's what I've seen. Marriages sometimes fail for lots of different reasons, but they tend to come back to a few basic principles. Lack of communication, lack of not doing the next right one thing, not learning to be honest with each other, and showing genuine love and respect for each other. And so when we focus today on this power of one thing, what one thing can you do and are doing for the next week, the next month, the next year that'll make the biggest difference in your marriage, we hear powerful stories. And we want to share some of them with you today. Let's go first to our call live. Cynthia is in New Mexico. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. What one thing do you do in your marriage that that has helped?
Well, I've just recently started doing it, but I see, you know, a change in my husband's moods, I guess you could say. You know, he goes to work really early in the morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would get up and do his own coffee every day. And so I started just getting everything ready for him so that he didn't have to do anything but turn on the stove, because he likes to do the instant coffee, so he uses boiling water. So the water's already in his little pot, and coffee set out, his creamer, everything, just so that he just gets up in the morning, turns it on. He works outside, so he's out. He tries to take frozen water with him, mm-hmm. so as it thaws out, he's got cold water. So I've just started putting it in the freezer for him, you know, because he'll go to bed really early and forget. So I just put it in there, set out his coffee, and, you know, we've had a lot of issues lately, and I just decided, you know, I'm not going to let those things get in the way. I know that I have to, he's not saved like I am, you know, and I'm still believing for it, but I have to lead by example, even if it starts with just me. And
so you're saying that's something you really wanted to do. It didn't come naturally to get up at, or prepare all this, do these kinds of things, because it sounds like maybe in other parts of your marriage, you're not feeling appreciated.
I'm not. And so I just thought, okay, I'm not going to let that stop me from doing these things for him.
Yeah.
Maybe the more I do for him, he's going to see it, and then he's going to start to reciprocate, which I've noticed that just doing that, he has a change in his mood when I come home from work, because he gets home before me, you know, and he's started, you know, hey, so what are we having for dinner? Do I need to go to the store and buy anything? Which I appreciate that,
mm-hmm.
because that was something that I always had to do, go to the grocery store, go home, make dinner. And now he's starting to take on a little bit of that, you know.
So you see from some of the change you've made, you're over, you know, really getting past your own stuff, that he's mm-hmm. responding in a positive way back.
He is, and I'm hoping for a greater response, you know. And but like I said, I have to lead by example, and I made a strong decision not to let his moods control my mood.
Yeah. And that's what's really that's what's really important, Cynthia, because even if it doesn't respond, even if he doesn't give you back what you want, because if we do something to get something and then we don't get it, that creates immediate disappointment. But if we do something because we know it's the right thing to do, we know it honors Christ, Now, we're hoping, we have a hope that maybe there'll be a positive response. But when we come, when it does come, it's kind of, wow, I appreciate that. Because when we expect it, here's what happens. Here's a reality. When we expect something and we get it, that's no big deal. We expect it, we get it. Why do we say thanks? I mean, I just expected it. Nothing special. But when I'm not sure I have an expectation that that's going to happen, and it does happen, I appreciate it more. And so our expectations really matter. And the fact that, Cynthia, you can say, hey, I want to do this because it's the right thing to do, because it honors Christ, and not really expect anything back. But when it happens, it feels good. And it's something that can be reinforced in your behavior as well.
Right, because I'm not getting right now the immediate response that I'm hoping for, but it's coming, and I have hope in Christ, you know, that, mm-hmm. hey, he's seen what I'm doing, and he's gonna fix the problem. You know, there's some decisions that I had to make as far as, you know, like, was it Jennifer that was saying about her husband that folds the towels and
yeah.
stuff?
Yes, yeah.
And does them wrong? Well, you
no,
know,
he does them his own way. He just does it
yes,
his own way.
And I'm having to learn to appreciate that, because if my husband loads the dishwasher, he loads it the way he wants to, not the way I want him to. And I need to learn to be like, hey, you know, at least he's doing it and I'm not having to do it. You know, I mean, maybe someday he'll start doing it the way I do. But, you know, you have to do the little things and appreciate the little things that come back to you.
That's right.
And I know he has greatly appreciated what I started doing with his coffee and his water, because it was in the midst of an argument that we had where we hadn't talked to each other in a few days, and I just came home from church one Sunday, and I just, you know, didn't let his mood affect me. I made my choice that morning at church. I'm not going to do it anymore. Regardless
of
what his mood is, I'm just going to do it.
Good for you.
I encourage others to do it.
Yeah, and I do too, Cynthia, and I hope others are listening, that we can be, come on now, we can get pretty childish in our marriage. We could pout. We could, I've done it. And speaking of the dishwasher, you hit a nerve there, because Donna knows exactly. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe someone can help me, but with a dishwasher, she's telling me you can't put the dishes, because they've got those little racks where you put them next to each other. She said, no, you got to keep them at least two spots apart, because the water's got to get in there and do all that. And I'm saying, thinking to myself, and why did the engineer put it so you could put them so close together? Probably a man. That's the problem right there. It was probably a man, Stephen, that made that dishwasher rack. What do you think, Gino? Think so? All right. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. A lot of wisdom. And I think Jennifer reminds us, you know, sometimes it's the little things. Listen, we're talking about the power of doing one thing. It can change your marriage and your life. Jennifer, yesterday, from our team here, talked about appreciation, right? You talked about showing appreciation for your husband.
Yes.
And that's made a difference.
A major difference.
And it's in your own life. And here's Cynthia. What's she do? She boils some water and gets stuff ready for her husband for coffee. You know, it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. Because the message is, I'm thinking of you and I care for you. I love you. And I'll set aside my own need of time or whatever and do something to show appreciation. Powerful. Okay, let's take a break. And you're welcome to share your stories with us. Angela and Debbie, hang on. We'll get to you in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living. And we'll be right back. Do you ever feel like all hope is lost? Maybe it's bad news from the doctor, a relationship issue, or just a bad day. In part one of Dr. Randy's message, How to Experience Hope, he gives you four ways the Bible says we can experience hope. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we're offering you a copy of the book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. To receive this month's special offer and the book, call 888-888-1717 today, or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Yeah, thank you, Kurt. We're near the end of July. Thank you. We're glad to have July behind us because it has been one hot month. I know not for all of you. Some of you live in paradise in the summer time, but in Tucson, I don't know. We've had like 30 days now straight of 100 plus degrees. So, but we're just about out of it. August is, I don't know if there's any hope for August, but we'll see. But anyway, we just have a few days left here in this month and a few hours, actually. Kind of a final call for the first part of a two-part series on experiencing hope from our master class series that I've taught for July and August. And I told the team that here in July, I wanted to handpick a book to make available to new members. So everybody who joins us in monthly support is a new part of the Intentional Living family. We want to make sure you received it. And I just mentioned to the team upstairs, make sure anybody who joins us as a new monthly member of the team that they receive Experiencing Hope. It's a classic, and I handpicked it because I know it's a book I have in my library, and I wanted you to have it as well. And if you already have it, that you can share it with someone else. So Experience Hope, the teaching, Experiencing God, the book, our gift to you, new members, come and join us. You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. Angela is in California. How are you today?
I'm fine, Dr. Randy. It's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you. We're talking about paradise. You live somewhere around San Luis Obispo?
Santa Barbara County. I was going to say that, but I don't want to rub it in.
So what is, I've got to know, what is your temperature going to be today?
Oh, probably, well, it's warm for us. It's 75.
Oh, you poor babies over there. With a cool breeze coming in off the ocean, right? Something like that.
Yes.
We've got like a hot breeze coming off the desert at 110. So
I'm sorry. That's all right. It's coming.
All right, back to the task at hand. Your talk. What's one thing you guys have learned about marriage?
Well, we'll be married 39 years in January, and I think our best thing we do is we've gone to church faithfully for almost 39 years and served the same amount of time. And I think because that always reminds us about God and Jesus in our heart, and it you know, fellowshipping, the whole thing that church does for a person, when you regularly go and you make that your family, I think that's our number one.
Do you probably serve together? Do you do something together?
Yes, we're on a prayer team together.
What difference do you think that's made? In what ways has it made a difference in your life and your marriage?
Well, we definitely have our main thing in our life in common, right? We have God is our main thing, and he's a very strong believer. He faced cancer four times since 2016, and that really brought him closer to the Lord.
Yes.
Right now he's cancer free, so we're good.
Amen.
But that was very hard. But I just think the constant reminder, you know, we never get far off because we're there every Sunday. We're there every Thursday. He leads men's group on Wednesday. I go to Bible study on Wednesday. We're not perfect, but I know it has to help. Yeah.
Well, I think a couple things. One is not only is it the fact that you're serving together and doing, you know, spiritual growth in your life, and but you're spending time together and you both have some shared goals, which are really key that couples have some things. We do our own thing, but we have some shared goals, some things that we do together that can really connect us. You know, I mentioned to my wife, Donna, we were talking about something, and I said, you know, opposites attract, but it's the similarities, that really hold us together. And so when we have that bond around our spiritual life, around church, around our family, you know, around the things that matter to us, and we're in agreement, that's like a glue. It really holds us together.
Right. And anytime I want to pray for anything, he says, okay, and we grab hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
So we have things to work on. It's not an easy street for us, our personalities, which I wish it was easier. But I wanted to say, too, one thing I like to do for him is we sleep in separate rooms, unfortunately, because of my snoring. Huh. But I pull down his bed, and I pull his blankie up where he wants it, and I turn on two dim little lights. He goes to bed after me, so all he's got to do is just pokes right in there, and it's all set up for him.
What a wife. All he needs is a teddy bear now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your call, and we'll be thinking of you suffering in Santa Barbara County. When it's 75 degrees out, I just don't know how you can take it. It just seems unbearable to me. Okay, thank you, Angela. Let's go to Debbie in Texas. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. I bet you'd rather be in Santa Barbara County, too, with
I was listening to that. Absolutely right. It's a little warm here, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, what do you do in your marriage?
Well, so I was, you know... I heard Jennifer say yesterday that she was talking about letting her husband fold towels and allowing him to help that way. And it brought to memory something that I've done that's really made a huge difference in my marriage. And, you know, these women, we have several women's groups at our church, and we get together and women talk about their husbands and what they let them do or not do and how they're helped or not helped. And there were some women talking about how they never let their husbands help make the bed because they didn't do it right. And it occurred to me that their right and their husband's right may not be the same. And I was blessed by the fact that ever since day one, my husband and I getting married, he's helped make the bed. Like, that's something he's done. He doesn't necessarily do it the way I do it, but he does it the way he mm-hmm. likes it. And so when he makes the bed, I don't go back and change it. I don't tell him he's not doing it right. I let him do it his way. And since the beginning, since I've let him do those things and thank him for doing things that way, God showed me that if I let him help me hit the way he helps and don't criticize or don't change what he's doing, then he helps me in all areas. Like mm-hmm. I get help.
That's right.
In every aspect of the home. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it just really brought to memory that. And I shared that with my ladies, you know, when they were talking about, well, my husband, he doesn't put the pillows on the bed the way he's supposed to. And I'm like, what says that there's a particular way they have to go on the bed? How come your way is right and their way is not right? You know, and so as a group we're all working harder. We're all working harder at letting our husbands help their way, and there's less complaining about not getting any help and more time for the fellowship yeah. that we have with our relationship.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, we
yeah.
got some, I was thinking, there's a lot of guys listening, I think, that are saying to themselves, maybe my wife is listening, understanding why maybe I'm hesitant to help because every time I do, it's not right. Right? Just a secret, guys. I got to let this out of the bag for wives that are listening. Is it possible that we mess up, not do things right, knowing that they won't ever invite us back to do it again? You never have to make the bed. You never have to do the dishes because you don't put them in the dishwasher right or whatever. Just, I don't know, just a thought. Personally, I make the bed, but I had to be trained. I went through a special training course, Jennifer. It was the Donna Carlson course on how to make a bed. And so I did it. I do it exactly right, but then I added my own little twist on the bottom. I do a little fold in, so it's a little military looking. And she was very impressed. Like, I don't know, but like the toilet paper, I learned after we got married, I've shared that. You know, I grew up with a bunch of guys, my brothers and, you know, hello. And so she said very kindly one day, you know, if you ever replace the toilet paper, can you make sure it goes on right? And I said, well, what's right? You know, I mean, out over the top, right?
Correct. Over, not
over the
under.
Top, correct. All right. So then I started, just to show her how much I love her, I put it on correctly. And then like a special high-end hotel, you make a little pointy thing on the end, you know?
Dr. Randy,
I got no credit for that.
I feel so vindicated that I'm not the only one. But ladies, it's the one little thing, that little change of showing appreciation. It just makes all the difference, I think.
Well, it does. Makes a difference. So guys, listen, put the toilet paper on right and put a little pointy thing on the end of the toilet paper, just like they do over there at the Motel 6, right? Okay. All right. We're having too much fun here today. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We're talking marriage. One thing, we'll get back I think Carmen's next. We'll get to Carmen in Michigan here in just a minute or two. Number two, how to experience hope. Romans 8, 23 through 25. Look what it says. Paul says, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he's promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. And this is interesting. It says, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Isn't that true? If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. All right, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on experiencing hope. And it's a two-parter this month and then August. Members, you receive it automatically. It's our master class every month. You know, you receive it digitally, both video and audio. New members, we'll get you signed up and get this out to you ASAP when you call. By the way, just for the next few hours for this month, those who join as a new member, we're going to send you as a new monthly member to Intentional Living, the book that I handpicked, Experiencing Hope. It's a classic. It's been out for quite a while, but it's a classic. Many of you have it. Many of you don't. But it'll be a book you should have and should read, and we'll get it to you. All you have to do is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Click on donate. All right. Jennifer, you said you're going to help with socks now. You're going to let your husband help with socks? Or?
I said if towels really struck a chord with the ladies, let's talk socks.
How can... What? I know we're off topic here a little bit, but Donna will take the socks and stuff out of the dryer and bring them into our room. And there's always one or two that don't connect to any one other sock. You know what I'm talking about? There's this.
There's
this single sock that got divorced somewhere between the dryer and the. Where do they go?
I don't know.
Seriously, I don't know. I think there's got to be a gremlin in the dryer system somewhere. Okay. All right, back to seriousness here. We're talking about marriage, and Carmen, sounds like resentment may be something you guys had to work on in your marriage. Go right ahead. What is it you guys have been working on?
So the biggest thing that we have learned in our marriage, and we've been together for 19 years, and I have to tell you that marriage is hard work, and it is a roller coaster, and you have your ups and downs in your marriage, but we have learned to let go of resentment. To not let the transgressions of yesterday come into today with us. And that has changed our relationship tremendously.
You know, resentment, yeah, thank you for your call, Carmen. Resentment is something that'll just drag you down. You know, the Bible talks about not allowing a root of bitterness to grow up. And because resentment is like that, it's just a little seed that can start to grow in a life, and it can destroy someone. It really can. All right. Thank you, Carmen. Appreciate it. You know, we started the show today with a comment from Sandra in New Mexico, and I want you to hear the rest of her, really kind of a brief 1-minute call, but I think it's a reminder about how marriages can struggle and what God can do. Take a listen.
Well, number one is putting God in your marriage first. It's praying together. It's reading the Bible together. It's having trust in your partner, loyalty, integrity. The biggest factor is forgiveness in a marriage. Mm-hmm. We've been married 26 years. It's not been perfect. It's been a roller coaster ride of children having problems. We've dealt with pornography, infidelity in our marriage. Right now, he's battling a dementia and is in a nursing home for long term. And it's just being there for him and to love one another regardless of your situation and just have your faith in the Lord that he's got your back, that he won't leave you nor forsake you. If you love one another and you base your marriage on God, then he will see you through it.
Thank you for that reminder, Sandra. Appreciate it. Donald, you're next from Arizona. What are you doing to have a strong marriage?
Well, one of the things I do constantly is I keep two words in my vocabulary. Yes, yeah. Dear. I realize that my wife would never ask me to sin. She just want to have it her way. So when she wants to go left, and I know the right direction is to go right, when we go left and she feels wrong, I make sure I don't say, I told you so, because that makes it worse. So I'm learning to give my wife, let her have her way. That's what I did when I caught her. She couldn't do no wrong. So now that I'm married, and we've only been married 5 years, but I'm learning to say, yes, dear, okay. And we try to, I know that we try to outserve each other because we both love the Lord. We try to outgive each other that extra mile. Mm-hmm. But yes, dear, my two key words.
Hey, listen, Donald, there's a whole conference there. You can do the Donald seminar on, we'll call it the Yes, Dear, the intentional Yes, Dear. I like him. He's my guy. Thank you, Donald. Down to earth, real. I love it. When I caught her, that's what it was. So I'm going to just love her as she is. Well, this has been interesting. If you missed yesterday, we had more fun yesterday, too, on the topic, same topic. We had a lot of interesting calls. Remember, everything we do goes out on a podcast. We have our podcast. You can listen to the stream online. Of course, it's on Facebook as well. Most of our shows live from our Potential Living studio. And next door, we take all the calls where you're welcome to share with us your comments, agreeing, disagreeing, what one thing you've learned about marriage. You can share that by calling 888-888-1717. Call our comment line. And during West Coast business hours, our staff are taking calls, praying with folks, talking to folks, folks calling to join us in support of the ministry. And if you don't call, we won't hear from you. So we would love to hear from you to say, hey, count me in. I want to be a part of Intentional Living. I want to support what you guys are doing. I want to be a part of the family. Sign me up for the master class every month, this month on Experiencing Hope. And to get the book, Experiencing God, as a way of saying thanks for your monthly support, all you have to do is call during, as I said, West Coast time, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. All right, the word for the day, Jennifer, you gave me the word for the day in your marriage. What is the word? It's the word...
appreciation.
Appreciation, there you go. And I think if we do that, we're going a long ways toward having an intentional marriage. For Gino on Facebook, Jennifer on the controls, and Stephen running everything else, thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Randy. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.